Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Giants lose, Jets win. The turkey vultures are out with the Giants and Brian Daboll. There's no doubt about it. This is when the media starts to turn. You've heard the clips from Jerry all morning long, and he'll have more of them coming up in about 25 minutes. And this is where you just, I mean, we've seen this so many times now. And especially with the Giants and their head coaches. You just saw it recently with Joe Judge. You saw it with Ben McAdoo. You saw it with Pat Shurmur. And, you know, I like Brian Daboll better than all of those guys. And I really do think he is a good coach. And I don't think that first year was a fluke. I also think that the roster is a problem. There's no doubt about that. And maybe Joe Shane should be criticized a little bit more by putting this roster together. But This script is starting to flow in that same direction, and I hate to see it, which is Brian Daboll comes in, first year, coach of the year, second year, bad year, injuries, everything else. Now third year, off to a bad start, and it's like peppering of the questions. He makes a mistake with Graham Gano. Everybody's all over him because this is a similar situation that they had. This is the second time something like this has happened, and he's just getting pounded on today. Absolutely pounded on. Now, on top of it, you got the schedule coming up where you can't, like, find a win in there for the next number of weeks unless they completely change the way that they play. And now you're talking about, is there going to be another regime change? Or will John Mara stick with these guys and have some continuity and have this organization not just turn the page so quickly like they have with these other coaches? But it's time to have that conversation. And I never felt that way before. But when you're getting the media and Brian Daboll bickering back and forth and the team's 0-2 and you're looking at the schedule, it's really time to think about, if you're John Mara, like, how much do you trust these guys? Like,
yeah, I know. It's easy to dump on them now, especially after the last 10 years and the futility that has been associated with the Giants. We had one bright spot 2 years ago. But in this season, right now, here in the moment, it is a long way to go. There are 15 games to go. A lot of things can change. A lot of rosters change due to injuries. We've seen teams, I'm not saying the Giants are one of these teams, but we have seen teams that got off to really bad starts and really start to kick it in gear in late October, November, December, and they start playing better. I thought the Giants played a reasonably decent offensive game yesterday. I thought it was nice to see Malik Nabers make some plays. The kicking situation, it's not the fault of Brian Daboll. That is a freak situation that happens. Everything goes foobar from that point on. And, you know, lo and behold, here they are, one of two teams that basically scores three touchdowns in a game, doesn't give up any touchdowns, and ends up losing the game.
Yeah, I mean, but they'll be
crazy, right? Which is absolutely crazy. And I understand when you combine it with everything that has gone on here for the last 10 years, it is absolutely mind-numbing for the fan base to deal with this yet again. And just when you think, okay, it reminds me so much of, like, when the Mets get something going, they get a couple guys going here and there, and then all of a sudden the closer stinks. You know, the closer's great, but they can't get any hits when they need to late in the game in order to win the game. And that's, I feel like the Giants are stuck in this kind of on this hamster wheel. I'm not going to call them turds because I don't believe that, but I do believe they're on this hamster wheel of losing and they can't get off of it. And a lot of it has to do with, to me, I'm I'm going to think about the last 2 years, because the first year of Brian Daboll, when he won Coach of the Year, and Daniel Jones did play as well as he did to get the new contract, you know, you would have thought that last year would have been a lot better, but then he gets hurt again. And they never get a chance to get their feet underneath them, and they never really get a chance to be a legitimate contender. So last year was a wash, and now this year they come into it and they lose their first two games.
Yeah, games that were winnable on paper. I mean, and maybe the Vikings are better than we thought, having beat the 49ers, but, I mean, it was, they got to go 2-0 because then they got to go to Cleveland, who figured it out a little bit more yesterday. Then I mean, who knows what the Cowboys are, but I'll tell you one thing, they always beat the Giants. So you've got that. After that, then you got to go out to Seattle. I mean,
you know, I've always felt like that, like week 7 or 8, there's always those weird games where a team that has like a 2-6 record beats a team with a 6-2 record.
Yeah.
And you really can't explain it. But what happened yesterday in the NFL is really bizarre. I mean, the Lions running up over 400 yards of offense and for some reason can't beat the Buccaneers, who barely had the ball.
The Giants did something that's only been done one other time in the history of the NFL.
Crazy. Look what the Saints did to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Look what the Minnesota Vikings did to the 49ers. I mean, look at the Jacksonville Jaguars losing to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, but everybody thought the Browns were going to be better than they were in week one. Like, that was a surprising blowout.
Those games are low scoring and just weird games. I mean, and the Giants, unfortunately, are holding true to form. That's the really bad part of this, and that's the losing culture that has basically taken over the franchise, which is really hard to get out of, really hard to get out of. And whether it be the quarterback or whether it be the defense, again, you know, it's a collective effort of unfortunate futility is really what it is.
Yeah. You know who really stinks are the Carolina Panthers. Oh, my God. That team looks awful. Absolutely awful.
You know what? I hate to say this because I like Brian Daboll as well. The perfect coach for the Giants would have been Jim Harbaugh.
Well, I mean, we talked about Jim Harbaugh a lot over the years, and you never seemed to like him as a coach because of how much of it like a maniac he was coming in when I would bring him up.
I mean, here for New York, I think it would have been tough. I think it would have been tough for him.
Yeah.
Because he is a unique personality, and I think the right place at the right time, and he recognized, given whatever was going on at Michigan, was going to go south there for a second, and he didn't want to be a part of that. And he also had a quarterback in the making in Justin Herbert out there for the Chargers. And he's a West Coast. I'm not saying he was a West Coast guy, but he did play on the West Coast. He coached on the West Coast. So he's used to that kind of environment. And all he's done is won his first two games.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought the Jets more than the Giants for Jim Harbaugh because of the quirkiness. You need somebody like that to come in and change the fortunes of that franchise. I mean, for the Giants, things have been, you know, very conservative with them and their hires over the years. That would have been a complete departure from who they've been. Right?
Yeah, but I just think, you know, the Giants, I feel like they needed a coach that was bigger than like the quarterback.
Well, we've seen all these coordinators come through here. And it's never been an established guy. And we were screaming about that when Rob Saleh got hired and how they needed an established guy. The only guy who was established, of course, ended up being the worst coach they had with Adam Gase. You know, he was an established in the sense that he had at least coached as a head coach previously to being the Jets head coach.
He took a team to the playoffs.
He did. You know, and then he came here and it was just a complete disaster. But whether it was, you know, Todd Bowles or Rob Saleh or Eric Mangini or Rex Ryan, who ended up working out, it's been a lot. It's been coordinators. Who's the next great coordinator that's going to come in here?
The Giants. Rex Ryan was the personality.
Yeah, he was. And he was awesome. He was great. And, you know, for the Giants, it's been similar too. You know, Pat Shurmur off a good year as a coordinator. Ben McAdoo off a good year as a coordinator. Brian Daboll has a good year as a coordinator. Joe Judge is a special teams coordinator. It's been the same stuff. They haven't. So that's why, you know, when you've got guys out there, like you've got out there in Mike Vrabel and Bill Belichick, if you want to go in that established route at the end of the season, if you're one of these franchises, you've got a huge opportunity to do that this offseason.
Do you think McAdoo, Shurmur, and Judge get together and over coffee and just talk about their Giant experience?
No.
You don't think so?
No. I don't know where any... Well, McAdoo was with the Cowboys for a little bit, wasn't he?
And Shermer is the offense coordinator for Deion Sanders.
Oh, okay, that's right. I did know that. But where's Joe Judge right now? Is he? Did he keep? Did he stay there?
I think he may be. Maybe in Detroit. Is he in Detroit? Or something?
Joe Judge. Yeah. He's currently a senior analyst for Ole Miss. Wow.
Oh, he was an Ole Miss guy. Remember, he was offered the Ole Miss job.
Yeah.
Before he took the Giant job. You remember that?
But a senior analyst?
Yeah. Just getting paid.
No, he was a Mississippi State
guy. Oh, is that what it was? Mississippi State? Okay.
Yeah. So different. But
I mean, but they all kind of hire each other.
Very incestuous, is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. When they all have contacts. They've all worked with people, and they all hire each other for different roles and situations. I wonder if Belichick is working like with Vrabel and McDaniels right now to put a staff together. You got to believe that Belichick has got to be putting a staff together.
Yeah, but I mean, Vrabel's going to be want to be a head coach himself, unless it's going to be like a coach in waiting thing with Belichick. He's like, listen, I'm going to do 2 years and you can take over type of thing that Parcells did with him. I don't know. Maybe. But you would think that he wouldn't want to attach himself to Bill because he's had his own success as a head coach.
No, I know he does. I know he has. And there's nothing like being the man and running the team, especially when you've already done that.
Man. Yeah, I don't want Brian Daboll to be in that list. I don't want to add him to the McAdoo, Shermer, Judge, Daboll. Like, I don't want to.
Just yet. You don't want to add him just yet.
I really
don't. A lot of people, you know, now are starting to look at the coach and, like Matt LaFleur is a great coach. You win a game with Malik Willis after you've given your quarterback $55 million a year and he's out for a number of years. I mean, a number of weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The other quarterback that, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about after Thursday night was Tua. And there are reports that he is and wants to come back. He doesn't want to retire.
Yeah.
Which I fully expected from him. That's why I thought they'd put him on like a four-week IR stint. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I think we're not going to see him at least for a couple of weeks. Is IR automatic four or six?
Well, I think
six?
They can bring him back after 4 weeks, I believe.
I thought short term might have been six. I got to look into that. Let's go to Martin in Rockland County. What's going on, Martin?
Oh, my God. I made it through the gauntlet. What's up, fellas? How are we doing this morning? Let's talk some Giants miserable football, right?
God, jeez.
Oh, my God.
I mean, what did you expect?
What do you mean, what I expect? I don't know, a guy to just talk about the Giants without dropping the F-bomb within 5 seconds? I don't know.
I understand that, but I'm just telling you, Giant fans are annoyed. Annoyed. I mean,
he said, and by the way, for people that didn't hear it, because you didn't hear it, he said, I effing deserve better, man. So we had to let him go. I wish we could just keep it on, but we can't, you know?
Yeah, I know that.
I know you know that. I'm just telling everybody else. And we don't want to have to hang up on you guys, but unfortunately, you know, we cannot curse in the way that Pat McAfee's show can curse. We can't do that. It's not a podcast. I know that there's a lot of people listening to podcasts in 2024, and like everything goes. Here, we still have rules.
Yeah, so the IR, you get put on IR, you have to miss at least four games.
Four games, okay.
Yes.
Yes, Eddie, you were about to say something.
The McAfee show does bleep out the F word. They just let the S word go.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. So they would have to bleep this one out, this guy. I effing deserve better, man. Let's go to Justin in Asbury Park. What's up, Justin?
Good morning, fellas. What's happening? How are you? Hey, I got a message for Giants fans. It's going to be at this point. When you all go 2-15 this year and you draft Miller Moss next year, you're going to do it all over again. Another boring white guy.
Yeah, I mean, they have had a little bit of... But Eli Manning was a boring white guy, and he was awesome for them. You know,
he turned out to be awesome for him. And I mean, and you know, maybe he stayed a little bit too long, and the early part of his career wasn't great. But then that middle part was awesome, and he came up big in two great playoff runs and a Super Bowl.
Right,
and
Phil Sims, boring white guy, and he's a legend with the Giants too. The Giants,
stiff white guy,
right? Stiff, boring white guy. So, like, if you think about, they had a good history with boring white guys.
I'm not a boring white guy.
No, but you're also not a Giant quarterback.
That's true.
You know. You were different. You had some pizzazz. Yeah. You know, the Giants don't like that. They don't like that personality, that pizzazz.
You know, Friday night I was coming back from Garmani and I got stuck outside the Holland Tunnel, you know, so I started like getting involved in Twitter and stuff.
Yeah,
like
everybody
that.
Thought you were drunk.
No, I wasn't drunk. I mean, I don't know why people think I was drunk.
Well,
I was bored. I was stuck in traffic and I was annoyed.
Well, I think the reason why is you're not that active. And
I know, but
Friday
I was
night.
Bored. I was just trying to fill up some time just so, because I was just sitting there.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a dollar for every text I got that said, how many Casamigos deep is Boompot?
Yeah, but I wasn't misspelling things. I was coherently responding to some people out there. And one guy said, what's that smell in Jersey? Because every time you come up the Jersey Turnpike, just south of the Newark Airport, there's that smell.
Yeah.
And there's all different reason why. And a lot of people said the Giant offense. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. And then other people said the carcass of your Jet career. Ha,
some
ha,
guy
ha.
Said my ass.
My ass. Ha, ha, ha. Eddie's like ass. Your ass.
My
Al's ass.
Ass.
I mean,
everybody's
you know,
ass. Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. Then some guy said he had a couple cats he wanted to introduce me to. And I said, I had a cat once. And then I didn't have a cat. It was gone.
But what happened?
I don't know. You know what? I think it was when Gunner was initially diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. We had Frankie the cat. And Frankie was a gray-haired, blue-eyed cat. And we named him Frankie after Frank Reich because Frank Reich has blue eyes.
Yeah.
So Frankie the cat had to go because we thought maybe it was allergies that was upsetting Gunner early on in his life.
They're eating the cats.
Is this when you were in Ohio?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But I had two
Frankie
dogs
okay?
with the cat.
Frankie found a
yes,
home?
Yes, yeah. I remember where Frankie went to a friend of ours, Rick. And
okay,
Rick took
good.
Great care of Frankie.
All right. There wasn't somebody like...
They're eating the pets.
It's not like someone took Frankie in a plastic bag.
You think this is why they attempted to shoot him again?
What, the dog and the cat thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were together when we saw that scroll under the Jet game. I was like, CBS special report. It's like, what? Unbelievable.
It is crazy.
Out on the golf course.
They're going to try to get him, man.
So
the election can't get here fast enough with all the Looney Tunes out there right now.
A former supporter, evidently.
Well, yeah, I mean, that guy, though, he had a long history of seeming like being a crackpot. So,
yeah,
the political rhetoric is pathetic.
And then Secret Service got crushed for the first one, and rightfully so. But this time, being able to be ahead of the game, they saw the end of the rifle going through the fence and were able to get the guy. So at least somebody learned from the first time, was able to protect this situation. But yeah,
think about it. They've attempted now twice to assassinate him, put him in jail, take his money. I mean, just persecute and prosecute. That's all.
So you're saying the same people who prosecuted him were the same people who attempted?
No, I think the political rhetoric is so inflamed and just so vile that it's giving people license to do things that just, you know, they're reacting emotionally to things.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. Eat the cat.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this football reaction Monday. I was nervous on Friday night because Jerry went down to Atlantic City to go see the Jordan Davis show in AC on Friday before he came up to Long Island on Saturday. And there was like a will call situation that did not go smoothly. So I did nothing on Friday because I had a very busy weekend after that. So I'm sitting in on the couch, and I get this text from not Jerry, but someone involved in this going, yeah, someone had Jerry down for the wrong night and trying to fix this. And I'm like, oh, God, because I was involved. And I'm just thinking, like, I'm picturing you, and I don't know if it went like this at all, but I'm picturing you with Kim, your wife, and then another couple going, you know, we're going to pick up these passes. We're going to have a meet and greet with Jordan Davis. And you go up to the will call window, and they're going, ah, nothing.
Well, because I am not a will call fan, I did not tell them.
Oh, okay.
So when I went to will call and nothing was there. Now, had you not told me to text your friend there was an issue, I wouldn't have.
Right.
I would have said, all right, no big deal. We had our tickets. We go in. And I started walking away like, nope. He said he'd be mad if I didn't text him. So I did. He told me, and he texted right back, don't go anywhere. Hold on. And everything was worked out. It was fine. But I didn't tell Kim, or I didn't say anything, just in case.
And I was, my reaction was like, why does Jerry always get effed?
That's okay. No, but let me tell you, Jordan's people could not have been more accommodating and nice. And we had, I mean, just a great time Friday.
Yeah,
night. No,
of course. And it was a tremendous weekend. And the show on Saturday was great. Got a chance to play golf with him twice. And also his opening act, Tucker Wetmore, a very young kid. There it is. Yeah, that was on Saturday. Tucker, 24. Got a lot of
He's
life
24?
Ahead of him.
24?
24 years old, man.
How about that?
I mean,
look at that mustache.
Boy, did I feel young hanging around with him.
Mm.
I mean, old, rather. I felt old, not young.
He had a lot of people there to see him.
Oh, yeah.
On Friday night.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. I wasn't aware of him, but he was good. He was really good.
And that's Mike Harris there, the guy who
Mike.
You texted. Yeah, who took care of the situation.
Very nice. No, that's pretty cool.
There's something about those country music people that just everybody's so nice.
Couldn't be more. Like, and I kept saying, hey, we'll get out of your hair. Like, no, take your time.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's have a drink.
Really remember you. He's like,
really?
I asked him. I asked him. He's like, we spent like half a day together.
Yeah,
man.
I know, but still, I wasn't buying it. But he could not have been nicer, and it was a good time.
Good.
What was interesting at that show Friday night, though, which I've never seen before, middle of a song, microphones cut out.
Oh, really?
And yeah, they rushed real quick, got new ones, and that band picked up right where they left off. It was pretty good.
Yeah, man.
But I never saw that before.
It's like second nature with those guys on those tours, you know?
Yeah.
All right, Jerry, what's happening in sports?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Winters Bros for help with your next cleanup or construction project. Visit wintersbros.com. Ian Eagle gave us the Braylon Allen 20-yard touchdown go-ahead run last hour. This hour, it's Bob Wischusen on Jets Radio.
Caught at 17, second and four. Jets on the 20-yard line of Tennessee. Play clock at 5. Rodgers under center. Braylon Allen alone set back. He takes the handoff, runs right, has a crease to the 15. Oh. Stiff arm, freeway, 5, goal line, touchdown. That's a Jet touchdown. And the Jets have the lead back on Braylon Allen's second touchdown of the game.
And that was Bob on Q1043 Jets Radio, and that would ultimately be the difference. 24-17, the Jets wind up beating the Titans. Rob Saleh proud of his club, very resilient this week.
Starting from Monday night, the travel, getting themselves right to play, getting on the plane, getting here last night, and then fighting through a hard first half and grinding through an even harder second half. I think credit goes to all of them and their mindset. And but yeah, anytime you can win this league, I don't care how you do it, it's always rewarding.
You're right.
Did that come through? Here. Anybody else hear that?
There was.
That was Graham Gano's hamstring on that first play I was just showing you.
Yeah. Sure.
Here was Rodgers. Did you feel good on that go-ahead drive?
I'm always confident we take the field we're going to score. Now, it doesn't happen every time, but yeah, I mean, we had to make a couple plays there. G did some, you know, squirrely stuff down the field, made a great adjustment, and Mike, you know, gave him a chance on the ball, and he came down with it. That was nice. So those are two big plays. And then we blew a hole open on the right side.
We blew a hole open in this studio just a couple minutes ago.
Jesus.
funny, Jerry. Jeez.
I mean, you were trying to show me something on the film, and then you just blasted
That was Graham Gano's hamster.
You're like, look at this, Biggs.
So stupid.
Oh, man. Okay. You know how we always talk about these guys should just draw plays in the sand or in the dirt like when we were kids? Well, not quite to that extreme, but here's Aaron Rodgers, how the Breeze Hall touchdown happened.
I screwed up the clock, and we called timeout, and Breeze comes over and goes, hey, throw me a go ball if there's a backer out there. I said, okay.
And that was it.
That's great. So, fine.
That's awesome.
Pretty simple.
I think that's very cool. I remember the stupid play that Will Levis made where he rolled the ball as he was about to get tackled.
Yes.
Then they kicked it and the Jets recovered it. Well, Brian, and as he will see, we all saw on TV what he said. Brian Callahan was asked, what did you exactly say to Levis when he came off the field?
I think the camera caught it pretty clear, if I had to guess. So, I was upset. It was dumb. It was the same exact thing he did last week, and he cost us points in the red zone. And that is what it is. He's a grown-up, and he knows better. And so, you know, I was really irritated that he cost us 3 points.
Hey, good for the coach.
Yes.
That's Brian Daboll 3 years ago to Daniel Jones.
That's right.
But now this is 2 weeks in a row. And this is what he's a second-year quarterback, but these young quarterbacks make these mistakes. They just have to, even like Jalen Hurts tonight, you'll see there are going to be a couple plays where he could probably either slide or throw the ball out of bounds, and he's going to try to force the issue when he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
You got to be aware of where you are, what you're doing, and what's going on. And until Will Levis learns that, you know, he may not be long. Brian Callahan may not be long for this. Brian Callahan came from Cincinnati where they play with Joe Burrow.
Yeah. He looked great. I mean,
better.
Like, more like himself.
Yes.
Yes.
Jets have their home opener Thursday against the Patriots. As for the Giants, they lost to the Commanders 21-18. Really big play in the game.
Fourth and four at the 22 with 2:20 to go here in the game, tied at 18. Jones out of a shotgun set, calls out signals, takes the snap, back to throw, pumps under pressure. Now fires one right, completes it, and oh, it's dropped by Neighbors along the sideline. He would have had the first down, and he dropped it, and he pounds the turf in frustration.
Yeah.
Because
Washington went down the other way and kicked the game-winning field goal. 21-18 was your final. Here was Neighbors. What a crappy feeling.
I'm disappointed. I mean, no matter how good of a game you can play, that last play came down to me. I'm hurt that I let those veterans down.
10 catches, 127 yards, but all we remember is the drop, did have a touchdown. 18 targets for him on the day.
By the way, that's a great answer from a young guy.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's kind of what you want to hear.
Yep.
If you're looking for silver lining stuff, like we said before, he had a great game. He handled himself like a pro after the drop.
Very mature.
Yeah, it's good to see.
Here was Daniel Jones, very difficult with Graham Gano out, getting hurt in the first play.
Obviously, it's not ideal to lose your kicker on the first play and changes how the game's played, but we're not going to make any excuses and got to find a way to make a couple more plays.
Right. And he gets hurt on a play that's essentially called back.
It was, yeah.
And it's amazing. You watch him running down the sideline, and he's running like he doesn't want to give up, even though he knows that he can't make the tackle. And right around the 25-yard line, he goes down like, you know, you got a sniper hit him.
Yeah. It was not good. Now, we spent a lot of the morning talking about the Brian Daboll press conference because I believe he was asked 13 different ways about Gano and why they had him active and didn't have the backup active as well. So, Kim at the end, Kim Jones, maybe the 11th question about this. From watching it, listening to it, I felt like she was trying to throw him a lifeline, meaning Daboll.
If you could turn back time, would you change that decision?
Knowing that he was going to get hurt on the first kickoff, yeah, certainly. On a pulled hamstring, yeah.
If any
player gets hurt at a certain position, the quarterback gets hurt, I mean, whatever it may be. So certainly, yeah. I mean, he got hurt.
All right, fair enough. So you think maybe it's done there? No, the next question. But why didn't you do more?
Why not take the extra precaution to just have Jude active and in case the worst case scenario happens? Knowing if he's fully healthy, it's different, but he came in less than 100%.
Yeah, again, we felt okay with the decision that we make. Obviously, didn't pan out because he pulled his hamstring.
It was a lot. It was 13 questions.
When you hear turn back time, what's the first thing you think
Chair.
Of?
Chair.
Yep, same here. That's a word association thing.
Not even a doubt about it.
The second that she said if you could turn back time, I just right in my head.
If I could find a way.
Turn back time.
That's right.
Find a way.
Giants in Cleveland, Sunday at 1. All right, a couple of other things from the NFL really quick. You have the Texans beat the Bears last night, 19-13. The Vikings beat the Niners, 23-17. The Chiefs did beat the Bengals by a point with that game-winning field goal. One thing that I noticed from this game, I don't know if it's gotten a lot of play, but the whole Jamar Chase with the official thing.
Yeah, he actually abused the official.
Here was Joe Burrow, who was asked, what the hell happened there?
I'm not really sure. I was just trying to de-escalate the situation.
Do you know what made him upset?
There's something said that I'm not exactly sure what it was, but you'll have to ask him.
And Chase would not answer questions about it. So you had that. And then Tony Romo is taking a beating online for this comment. So there was a play where Patrick Mahomes threw the ball into the turf at the feet of the receiver.
Yeah.
And this is all Romo said during the replay, and people are crushing him for it.
This is Mahomes throwing it in the dirt on purpose. So he sees it, and then he's got such great instincts. He tries. The guy coming right there from the inside. You saw Wilson coming. He didn't see that initially, but he sees everything, and that's a winning play. No turnover.
It's a winning play, no turnover. It makes sense when you watch the replay, but he's getting hammered for doing this. I don't know why. I don't know. People are mocking him with this clip.
Well, I mean, that
but it makes sense.
But this is what we were just talking about with young quarterbacks, knowing when to throw the ball,
yes.
And what to do with the ball.
And he did.
And here's a seasoned quarterback, a Super Bowl winner, MVP, throwing the ball into the ground. That's exactly what we're supposed to do.
Is it because they think he tongue bathes Mahomes
maybe.
Too much and this was actually a bad throw and he's saying he's doing it on purpose?
And called it a winning play.
Yeah.
Maybe so. But I know what he's saying, though.
He did it on purpose. And it was, that is a winning play if, in fact, he didn't throw an interception or, turn the ball over in some way, shape, or form.
And let me just play before, because I got to do with the Yankees real quick. Matt LaFleur, I heard you talking about this. I haven't had a chance to get this in. This was LaFleur talking about his center vomiting before he snapped the ball.
I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that third down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah. He threw up on the ball and I guess couldn't get a grip on it because it was covered in vomit.
Yeah, these coaches hear a lot of things. They have to deal with a lot of things. That's one. That's a new one.
Tonight you got the Eagles and the Falcons to wrap up the week in the NFL. Yankees beat the Red Sox 5-2. Aaron Judge, our thriving player of the game.
And 0-1. Judge hammers it. Center field. Way back and gone. Goodbye. Number 53 for the captain. And he demolished that one into Monument Park. Yankees have a 4-0 lead.
Emmanuel Babari, the call, Judge the big home run, and that is why he is our Thrivewell New York's premier infusion and injection center player of the game. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. Giancarlo Stanton drove in 2 runs. Yankees now a 3-game lead on Baltimore atop the AL East. The Orioles lost to Detroit 4-2. Yankees off today in Seattle tomorrow. As for the Mets, a 2-1 loss to the Phillies. JT Realmuto with the game-winning RBI single in the 9th off of Edwin Diaz. Buddy Kennedy, the immortal one, the game-tying RBI double off of David Peterson in the 8th right after the Mets had taken that 1-0 lead. More than that, though, Francisco Lindor, what happened, came out of the game again with the back soreness.
I just felt like my back just got a little weak as I took a couple steps towards first base.
And so he will have imaging today to see what in the hell is going on. And that happened on a base hit, so he came out of the game. The Mets are tied with Atlanta for the 3rd wild card spot. The Braves lost to the Dodgers 9-2. You got the Mets and Nationals tonight at Citi Field with Sean Manaea on the mound. And the Braves have one more with the Dodgers before I believe they are either in or hosting Cincinnati this week.
I was thinking about Cher in the break just now after bringing this up to Jerry, and I was like, I've got good feelings about Cher. Like I don't have a negative view on Cher at all. I think I like Cher.
It depends on if you're listening to her music or her politics.
No.
Well, I was just talking about her career. I actually have no idea what her politics are. I'm assuming
you're not old enough to remember Sonny and Cher.
Yeah, I know, but then I'm not old enough to remember, but I do know Sonny and Cher, and then he unfortunately lost his life skiing into a tree. You know, I know these things. You know, learning about history, but yeah, you know, no, I was just thinking about Cher as a performer. I was like, hey, you know, Cher's not so bad. And then what was that one when she came back? It wasn't that long ago, like 20 years. Now we're talking like 45, but more like 20 years, which was, do you believe in love after love?
Oh my
love
gosh.
After love. Right, yeah. Do you believe? She put that effect on her voice. You're an eclectic music guy. Is Cher in that phone of yours?
No, she's not.
She's not in there, huh?
No. After love, after love, after love, after love, after love, after love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You know this song.
Of course I know. Yes.
So we were talking about this yesterday. I'm not like a lyrics guy. I never pay attention to lyrics. I take it to like melodies. So like I know that, but I'll never remember the lyrics.
Yeah, but to the songwriter, you know that. I mean, yeah, it's come important. On, that's the substance of the
here it
song,
comes.
Man.
Ready?
Do you believe in love after love?
Oh, Cher. You think Turn Back Time, this one, I Got You, Babe. What's her most...
I would say I Got You, Babe.
You think that's the most streamed Cher song of all time? And I understand that's with Sonny, but is that the most popular, the most played?
Just her, though?
Just her has got to be Turn Back Time.
Right? Maybe Gypsies, actually, Tramps, and Thieves.
I Believe is number one by far.
Oh, Believe
it
by
is.
Far.
The Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves, that was a good song.
Like 73, I think.
Yeah.
So like back in the day, like when you were, what, 5 or 6 or right around
No,
there?
I was 13, 12 or 13.
Was Cher like a Hot Box of Rocks for
she
you
was,
right
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then remember Hot Box of Rocks. That Time magazine cover.
Oh, yeah.
Oofa.
This is right in your wheelhouse, then,
oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So she, a Time magazine cover, huh?
Just Google.
Time magazine. Was that what the things, her
yeah.
hair was over her boobies?
Sparkly situations and...
Cher Time magazine.
You should check out the Time magazine cover this week.
Do you know this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Help me strong.
Yeah, see, I don't know any of the lyrics. Yeah, no, this was a different one. I wasn't remembering this.
That was from the 70s.
If genius cares, then it's
that's
kiss.
Where it is. Woo! How old is she now? 70.
She's got to be like 75?
78, maybe?
She's still out there touring, you think, Cher?
And always had young boyfriends.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and recently she talked about this. She was like, I'm not going to apologize for anything. These guys come in here, they hammer it and go home. It's great.
I don't think she actually said it that way. Jesus.
I mean, she said something like that, man. I'm telling you. There was some, like, she was like, why? Everybody's criticizing me for this. This is the greatest thing ever. You know, what if I got a, you know, this 24-year-old wants
a piece of me?
Yeah. mean, yeah.
You want a piece of me?
78.
Yeah.
78. Yeah. I mean, oh, that's right. She was married to Greg Allman, too. Man, what a life, huh? What a life this year.
She's probably seen it all, as they say.
Probably. A lot of plastic surgery, too, you know, in her old age. Definitely went ham with that. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and it's your Giants phone calls because we know that you want to talk about the game. Brian Daboll losing this game, starting 0-2, so we'll go right back to where we opened up with the Giants and the Jets.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.